Dav Ches. We begin the Gemara on the bottom of Dav Zion, Amud Bey, starting with the words Amar Rav Yochanan. The Gemara starts off, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shema Man Yochai, Kol Koveya Makam L'Sfilaso, Oyevav Noflim Tachtav. Person's Koveya Makam. Now, we understand the Gemara already spoke about this topic earlier, the importance of Kviyas Makam. The Gemara here speaks about another benefit of Kviyas Makam, establishing a place while you're davening. The Gemara says that in the name of Rav Yochanan, that in response to being Koveya Makam, so Oyvav no flim tachsav, your enemies will fall underneath you. Shenamar v'samti makam la'amid l'Yisrael, unetativ v'shachan tachtav, v'lo yigazod, v'lo yosifu b'nei avla, la'ano so kasher barishonam. The Gemara quotes from Pesukim Shmuel Beis that once we establish ourselves and once we plant ourselves, so our enemies will not be able to be ma'ana us anymore. V'iniz mosam means exploitation. To which the Gemara points out, Rav Huna Ramiksiv, Rav Huna notes that there's another pasuk that seems to not contradict this pasuk, but doesn't mesh together with it. The Gemara quotes, Uksiv, Lam Lecha Lo So, meaning elsewhere when the Navi describes the same basic idea, that once we establish ourselves, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will no longer allow our enemies to bother us. The pasuk over here says Lecha Lo So, which means that our enemies will not be able to destroy us. Now this is a mala lower than exploiting us, meaning if we are Koveya Makom and we are going to be impervious to exploitation, that obviously is a tremendous mala. Here in this pasuk, it only mentions that our enemies are not going to destroy us, which means that up to destroying they'll do, meaning they'll torture us and they'll oppress us, but they won't destroy us. Now, where exactly is this pasuk to be found? So it's not clear. If you look in the side of the Gemara says it's found in Malachim Beis, but the word over there is not lechalosa, but levalosa, which is the same basic idea, to wear us down. And it's not exactly the same. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi points out that you can find this pasuk lechalosa in Divrei Hayamim. Either way, somewhat of a contradiction. So, the Gemara answers like this. Originally, when we first built the Beis HaMikdash, so we had tremendous zechuyos, and the non-Jews, our enemies, would not be able to neither destroy us, not even to oppress us. But at the end, as Rashi points out, once we sinned, kishechatu nigzar aleim inui. So at that point in time, now we were subject to being ma'ana. They were able to suppress us and oppress us, just not destroy us. Rashi points out, it's filasam megina alehem mina kilayon. The best thing that davening was able to do for us is just make it that we would not get destroyed. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Gidol Shimush Shaltar Yosem Milimuda. Shimush Tamid Chachamim is greater than learning. Now, usually Shimush Shaltar means not just serving Tamid Chachamim, but basically Gemara. Understanding Mishnayos, analyzing Mishnayos, the ability to compare one Mishnah to another and to answer up the Mishnayos, that's usually what Shimusha Shel Torah means. In this context, the Gemara means it much more literally. It means actually serving Tamidei Chachamim. Shenamar Po Elisha ben Shafat Asher Yatzak Mayim Alidei Eliyahu. So in Elisha being a Talmud of Eliyahu, he learned the Yitzika, pouring. Yitzika is involved in some of the avodos in the Beis HaMikdash, and he did so by observing Eliyahu pouring. Lama lo ne'amar, it doesn't say he learned, but Eliyahu yatzak mala yatzak, but actually he watched Eliyahu do Yitzika. Malam echikdol shimusha yosem limuda. So you see that there is a maila, there is a an advantage to shimush tamidei chachamim. The Gemara continues with three lines from the bottom. The Amud Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak Rav Nachman Maitam lo asim arla beikanishta. The question was posed to Rav Nachman, how come you didn't come to shul to daven in shul litzluye to daven? Amalei lo yachilna. So he says I couldn't. Now Rashi says tashkochi. Rav Nachman wasn't feeling well. He was weak. He was he just didn't feel up to going to shul. He was ill. To which the Gemara says, okay, so I get that, but why don't you do the following? The Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak continues to ask Rav Nachman. So, so you should have gotten a minion. Got a minion together in your own house and daven with a minion in your house. So, he says, that's too much of a tircha. That I could not do. But, so you should at least be davening the same time as the Tzibur's davening. So have somebody, a messenger, come over to you and tell you exactly what time davenings are. So you can daven exactly the same time as the Tzibur. So you're davening. It's tefillah. It's not tefillah bit Tzibur, but it's tefillah imat Tzibur. Right? You're davening the same time the Tzibur's davening. So Amalei Maikulei Hai. So Rav Nachman says, look, I understand that your basic idea is that I should be davening bit tefillah bit Tzibur. Well, what's the maila? What's so important about davening tefillah b'tzibur. Amalei dam Rav Yochanan mishum Rishon Yochai. Top of Ches Amud Aleph, my dichsiv anis filasi lecha Hashem eis ratzon. The pasuk says that there's an eis ratzon. There's a specific time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts tefillah more than other times. What is that eis ratzon? So the understanding of a Gemara is emas eis ratzon b'shasha tzibur mispalim. That's when you find the tzibur is davening b'minyan. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chinan Mameachik Kama Hashem Beit Ratzani Nisicha. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chinan cites another pasuk that says, "I will answer you at during the Seis Ratzon." Rabbi Ach Rabbi Chinan Mameachah Hein Kel Kabir V'Lo Yimaz. Kosh Baruch Hu will not reject our tefillah. Uksiv Pada B'Shalom Nafshi Mekarevli Ki Berabim Hayu Imadi. And the continuing pasuk, sorry, it's not a continuing pasuk in Tehillim, says, and why is it that Kosh Baruch Hu will not reject our tefillah? It's because we're doing so Berabim. We're in a public form. We're davening with a minyan. How do I know that Kadosh Baruch Hu does not reject the tefillah of Rabbim? Okay, so the Brisa here supports exactly what we just stated, quoting these two psukim, one from Eov, the other one from Tehillim. Anyone who engages in Torah and Gemilas Chasadim and davens with the minyan, so it's as if they have redeemed me and my sons, my children, from the nations of the world. Anyone who has a minyan in his community and doesn't daven in that minyan is considered shachin ra, is considered a bad neighbor. Shenamar ko amar Hashem kol shchinei haraim anogim benachla asher yisnachalti es ami es Yisrael. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu speaks about him being a shachin ra, shchinei haraim, bad neighbors. V'lo odol shigar mengalos lo ulevanav, and causes exile for himself and for his children. Shenamar inino shim al masam ves beis Yehuda etosh mitocham. Amar le Rav Yochanan ikasabi bebavom. Tama, the Amar, Rav Yochanan notes the following observation. There are seem to be old people living in Bavel. And Tama, and the thing confused him. He didn't understand, how is it possible that there could be old people living in Bavel? The Amar, Laman Yibu Yimechem Yimim Nechem Aladama, Haftacha that we were given, that we read about in Shema twice a day, is Laman Yibu Yimechem Yimim Nechem. You're going to have Ribu Yamim, extended days, long days. You're going to live a long life. Al ha'adama, but that's only when you're on the land, meaning Eretz Yisrael. So how could it be that there's no haftach of living a long life outside of Eretz Yisrael? How can there be old people in Bavel? So that's the question that bothered Rav Yochanan. But then he was further told, you know, they go to shul. They wake up early, go to shul. They stay in shul late. They daven shachrit in the morning. They daven maariv in the evening. Oh, now I get it. Now I understand how they could live a long life. I want you to wake up early. I want you to go to bed late. And I want you to go to shul, spend those times at shul. Ki heichi detarchu chai, so that your life will be extended. Amar Rav Acha b'Rabbi Chanin Ma'ikra Asher, Adam Shomer Li Lishkorav, Dasu Sai, Yom Yom Lishmor Mezuzos Psachai. Fortunate is the person who goes to my doorways and enters into my doorposts. Suksiv Basrei Ki Motzei Matzei Chaim. Such an individual extends a long life. Again, the same idea, that you go to shul, you daven in shul, early in the morning, late in the evening, you spend much time in shul, you'll have an extension of life. Amar Rav Chitzel Lola Mikanes Adam Shnei Pesachim Mevei Sakaneses. A person should walk to shul into two doorways. Now, two doorways. The Gemara says Shnei Pesachim Sakadalcha Elaima Shir Shnei Pesachim V'Acher Kach Yispalal. You should go into shul. Don't walk into shul. Stop right at the doorway and daven right there. But you should walk into shul. The Gemara says the distance of two doorways. What's the idea of walking into shul? So Rashi points out. I'm sure you can guess on your own what the idea is. Rashi says Shalo Yeshev Samalcha Pesach. Do not want you to be sitting right at the exit of the doorway, the entrance slash exit of the shul. The Nir Alav Kamasui Ikav Beis HaKnesses, says, because it looks like it's a burden. Going to shul is a burden. And the moment that shul is ready, you're ready to bolt right out of there. So what you should do is when you go into shul, you should go into shul. At least two doorways into the building. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, what should a person daven for? A person should daven for Ace Mitzel, a find, a good find. Now the Gemara is going to spend the next number of lines describing what is considered to be a good fine. Amar Rabbi Chanina Leis Mitzvah Zuisha. So pshat number one of the Gemara is that we're talking about a woman, a good woman. Shenamar Matzah Isha Matzah Tov. If a person finds a good woman, a person's found good. Pasuk and Mishlei. B'marav Kinasavina Shizasa. Amar Lehachi. And Marav and Eretz Yisrael, when somebody got married, so this is a question that was posed to him. What did you find? Did you find a matzah? Oh, motzeh, did you find a motzeh? Now, matzeh, dichsev matzeh, isha matzeh tov, meaning is she a good woman? As per the Pasuk and Mishlei, v'yafik ritzomei Hashem, motzeh, dichsevu motzeh ni marmemah, v'sisa isha. I found something that's more bitter than death, and that's a woman. Or did you find yourself a bad woman? That's per the Pasuk in Koheles. Rabbi Nasan Armeleis mitzoh zutara. Another pshat. A person should be davening for this ace mitzvah. What is an ace mitzvah? So another pshat is that it's a reference to Torah. So presumably what the Gemara means is that a person should be mispala, that he has a havana sa Torah, that he has a desire to learn Torah, but he should be more connected with Torah. Another pshat, Rav Nachman, it's a Gemara, ace mitzvah zumisa. Person should daven for Misa. Now that's of course obviously very strange. Person, we don't normally assume that a person wants to daven for death. In fact, just the opposite. We want to daven for life. In fact, the Gemara earlier pointed out that you live a long life by davening, and specifically by davening with a minyan. So what does it mean, Misa? So from the continuation of the Gemara, it's going to be obvious, and Rashi pointed out over here, that when you die a pleasant death. There are 903 different ways to die, tells us the Gemara. According to the Pasuk in Tehillim, and the word Totsaos, Begamatria Hachi Have. If you do the numerology of the word Totsaos, it comes out to 903. 903 different ways to die. Kasha Shabakulam Askara. The worst way to die is Askara. It's some sort of asphyxiation. Nicha Shabakulam. The easiest way to die is Nishika. And that is through Nishika. Askara Damaya Kiches Rebegava Da Amra. Dala Achare Nashara. The Gemara tries to give some sort of visualization so that we can understand what Askara is, what it feels like. So the Gemara gives one visualization, graphic, where it's like taking thorns and pulling them through wool. The thorn is going to catch the wool. The thorn is going to tear the wool. There's no way that you could pull thorns through a wool without it catching and dragging some of the wool. Another way of describing it is that they had these ropes that they would tie the boats with. Rashi goes on to describe how some places in the ocean, the boats could not be fastened together using barzel. So instead, they had to tie it together with ropes. And they made holes in order to tie the ropes in. Now, the holes, we're not going to be wider than the ropes, obviously, because then the water is going to get into the boat. But the holes in the rope were basically the same size. It was a very tight fit. So it was like pulling these ropes through these holes, which, again, same thing. It causes a tremendous amount of abrasion, and it would be seem to be extraordinarily painful. And as far as this easiest way to die, in the Shika, the Gemara tells us that Moshe died al yidei Nishika. Aaron died al yidei Nishika. The Gemara says Miriam also did, although the Torah doesn't mention it because it's lavar achara. But Nishika is a death in which it's like taking a hair and removing it out of milk. It's that seamless and that's painless. Rav Yochanan Amaleis Mitzvah Kvura. Rav Yochanan gives another pshat. What should a person daven for? What is this ace mitzvah that a person should be davening for? So it's kvura, it's burial. Now, what exactly does that mean? Am Rabbi Chanina Maikra Hasmeichem Elei Gil Yasisu Kim Yimtsu Kover. Finding the right funeral plot. Finding the right funeral plot can be sometimes very frustrating, can be very confusing. Sometimes the purchasing of it is during a very emotional time. Reference Avram Avinu as he tried to purchase a plot after his wife died. And so, to find a kvura, to find the right kvura, so a person should daven that he has the right kvura. And the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba bar Rav Shila hainadami inshuli bay inish rachame afilu ad zibula basraisa shlama." Person, until the last shovel of earth is placed on top of him, person should daven that his kvura go smoothly. Mazucha amar leis mitzvah zubeis akise. And finally, the Gemara gives one final pshat. What should a person daven for? A good bathroom experience. Amri b'marava had marzucha adifa mikulo. And Marzucha says that's the best pshat. I don't think a person could ask for a better pshat than davening for a good bathroom experience. Rashi points out that one of the biggest concerns they had back then, remember, you're going back to a time where there was no indoor plumbing, is that they had to walk at great distances in order to get to the bathroom. So Rashi points out that one of the things they would be davening for is to make sure that there would be a bathroom proximate to where they were. Amalei Rav Leraf and Bar Papa Leimel Amar Mehani Mila Me'ayasadam Me'mishmei Rav Chista B'Mila Debei Kenishta. Can you say over some of the amazing things that were said over by Rav Chista when it comes to the shul? So Amalei Hachem Rav Chista My Dechzivoy V'Hashem Sharitzim Mikol Mishkanos Yaakovoy V'Hashem Sharim Mitzrayim V'Alacha Yoser Mibate Chenesi Yoser Mibate Midrashos Kadosh Baruch Hu loves the Sha'arim, the gates. But the gates over here means gates of Halacha. Sha'arim HaMitzuyanim B'Halacha. And he likes that more than shuls and more than base measures. I guess when the Gemara here says base measures, it means pilpul, meaning learning, but not learning Lamaisa. But in other words, once you're learning Lamaisa, Kadosh Baruch Hu likes that more than anything else. The only thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu has in this world after the Churban Bayis is only the four amos of halacha. I would learn at home and daven at shul. But once I heard this unbelievable thing that Akash Baruch Hu after the Churban Bayis only has Dala Amashal Halacha, so lo have matzina ella hech de garcina. So where did I daven? I find that the best davening should be in the place where I learn, because that's where Akash Baruch Hu is found. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, if I got to have a little bit closer, Bei Knishta, Bei Tveria, the 13 shuls in Tveria, La Matzle Ella, Beini Amudi, Hechdavai Garsei. Where would they daven? They would only daven between the Amud and between the pillars in which they would learn. Presumably they would get a minion over there, but in other words, that is where they would, that is where they would daven. We did quote earlier the Pasuk of Ashrei Ish Yireis Hashem. So the Gemara here now quotes that it's greater Nene Migio. Somebody who enjoys the work of his own hands is greater than somebody who's a Yireis Shamayim. Now, to which the Gemara says, how do I know this? So when talks about somebody who is yigia kapecha, enjoying the work of his own hands, so that is the Torah uses two descriptive adjectives. It says ashrecha and tovlach. By Yerushalayim v'tovlach lo k'siv be. By Yerushalayim it only says ashrecha. The Gemara is obviously very difficult to understand, meaning that someone who's a Yirei Shamayim is inferior to somebody who enjoys the work of his own hands, meaning the Gemara just yesterday and the day before talked about how important it is to be a Yirei Shamayim. The Gemara says that the entire world was created for somebody who's a Yirei Shamayim. And now because of a pasuk, the Gemara puts someone who's Yagia Kapech above that. The Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying that there are two ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is out of Ava and the other one is out of Yira. The Gaon says that when the Gemara over here describes Yigia Kapecha, according to the Gaon, means somebody who is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love. Somebody who fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just serving him out of fear, but someone who's fearing out of love as on a higher madrega. And the Yigia Kapecha means that he is satisfied in his work, meaning that he loves what he does. As opposed to somebody who's a Yira, meaning he does it simply because he's told to do it, he's afraid of the punishment of how he's going to do that. So that's the Vilna Gaon's Pshat in our Gemara. So avoda mi'ava is greater than avoda mi'ira. Am Rabbi Chaya Bar Ami Mishmedul la'olam yadu adam ma'akom rabo. Person should live in the same community as his rabbi. She calls Moshe Shimei Ben Gera Kaim lo nasan Shlomo as Bas Paro. As long as Shimei Ben Gera was alive, Shlomo HaMelech did not marry Bas Paro. Ve'hatanya al yador. Now we have another brisa that says that you should not live in the same community as your rabbi. Lo kasha had dechayef le had lo chayef le. To which the Gemara says, it depends. If you're going to listen to your Rabbi, good. So it's important to live where your Rabbi's living. If you're not going to listen to your Rabbi, so then it's better not to listen. And Rashi points out over here, Mutav Shiyu Shogim Bal Yidu Mezidim, meaning ignorance in this case is going to be better. Obviously, it's preferable to live in the same community and listen to your Rebbe, but if you know yourself well and you know you're not going to listen to your Rebbe, so al karchach, it's better not to live with your Rebbe and live in a different community. Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Menachem, Amar Rabbi Ami, Mai Dech Sivoz VeHashem Yichlu. Those who leave a Kadosh Baruch Hu will be destroyed. What is this referring to? Leaving Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh Minech Sefer Torah V'Yotzei. Someone who walks out of shul during Kriyas HaTorah, Rabbi Abahu Nafik Ben Gavra LeGavra, Rabbi Abahu would go out between aliyahs, and the Gemara seems to be condoning the practice, meaning obviously it's better to stay in shul throughout the duration of Kriyas HaTorah, but if you have to leave, it's better to leave between aliyahs. Abai Rapapa Mim Psukla Psukha Mahu. What about between psukim? A neat trick to walk out of shul right between psukim. Could be in the good old days where they had targum, so the targum gave you a little bit of a cushion so that there was a little break between one pasuk and the next pasuk. So it could be that Rapapa was describing when they had targum back in the good old days. But anyway, how about leaving between psukim? Take it, the Gemara does not answer this question, leaves it unresolved. Rav Sheshes Mahadar Ape Begaris. And then the Gemara says, interestingly enough, Rav Sheshes would turn his back to Kriyas HaTorah and he would learn during Kriyas HaTorah. Now, this practice of Rav Sheshes obviously is highly questionable. Now, of course, it's highly questionable because the Gemara just got done saying that your Ozve Hashem, if you leave during Kriyas HaTorah, so Yichlu, the Gemara just spoke in very strong terms about somebody who leaves during Kriyas HaTorah and then immediately follows up with Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes turning his back and learning during Kriyas HaTorah, obviously that is very difficult to understand. So take a look at Tosfos over here. Tosfos makes the following suggestion. Tosfos says, first of all, he quotes the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota says, "My dechsev uche pitzcho amdo kol ha'am kevin sheniftach sefer Torah asa l'saper afil b'dvar halacha." You're not allowed to even learn in halacha while the Sefer Torah is open, which is a blatant steer to the practice of Rav Sheshes. Okay? So that obviously presents itself a significant problem. So to which Tosfos says, so one resolution suggests Tosfos is that to daven b'kol ram to learn b'kol ram and therefore be a direct direct competition to Kriyas HaTorah, and you're going to be disrupting Kriyas HaTorah. That is totally inappropriate. And to that, the Gemara says that, and the Gemara in Sota says that you cannot do. But when Rosh Hashanah learned, you learn quietly. Tosfos now points out, and why is the Gemara telling us Rav Sheshes turned away? What was the point of turning away? So the Gemara, so Tosfos answers very simply that the Gemara just simply wants to show us that that's okay. Meaning it's not an affront to the Sefer Torah that he turned away from the Sefer Torah while it's being read. And he turned away just simply because he wanted to have better kavanah in his learning, so that's why he turned away. Okay, so that's shot number one of Tosfos. How can Rav Sheshes learn during Kriyas HaTorah? So he learned quietly and he did not disrupt. Then Tosfos offers another pshav. Rav Alfas Kastav Dachi Garsin Mefarshe Davka Shiei Shamasar Achrina Az Yechalumot Aval Ein Shamasar Ki Imo Lo V'achemar Shayu Sham Asar Belo Hu. Another pshav that he quotes in the name of the Rif is as follows. If there are 10 people there here in Kriyas HaTorah, so then you don't have a personal obligation to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Famously stated by the Ramban, often misquoted and misused, is the idea that Kriyas HaTorah is a chovas hatzibur, is an obligation on the community, which some people seem to understand that means. I don't have to hear Kriyas HaTorah, meaning the community has to hear it, but I don't have to hear it. Okay? It's somewhat of a faulty logic, meaning you are part of the community. But chovas hatzibur, now in this context, you understand a little bit better. It means that you're in shul, you're davening with a minyan. Once there are 10 people here in Kriyas HaTorah, so good. So in other words, that Kriyas HaTorah now is being observed. Now, you happen to be in shul at the time, so according to the Rif, you don't necessarily have to hear Kriyas HaTorah. If you want to learn at the time, so you can. That's the second pshat, and that would resolve the difficulty between the practice of Rav Sheshis and the Gemara in Sota. Rav Sheshis was in a situation where he was not the 10th man in shul. There already were 10 men outside of him, and so therefore he took the opportunity to learn. And a third possible pshat, says Tosfos, is that Rami Rav Sheshis is fundamentally different because Tarasu Umnaso. He's one of those people who learned Yomav Alayla all day and all night. The Gemara later on will speak about kulas of such an individual who learns all day and all night. And we can add this to one of the kulas, which is that you don't have to listen to Kriyas HaTorah, but rather you can learn during Kriyas HaTorah. The Anamis Darbalan Ki Hai Terutz, and Tosfos points out that seems to be the Terutz which is most apt. If this is the accepted halacha, so then it would come out, of course, that for the rest of us who are not Terasu Kimnaso, we're not learning all day and all night, so no one is allowed to deviate and not pay attention to Kriyas HaTorah. Everyone is obligated to pay attention to Kriyas HaTorah, and the practice of Rav Sheshis is unique only to Rav Sheshis. We back in the Gemara. We're on the bottom of Chesamad Aleph. Amar Ravuna Bar Yehuda. Amar Rav Ami Lo Olam Yashlim Adam Parshi Yosef Imetzibor Shnai Mikrevecha Targum. Here is now the famous Gemara of Shnai Mikrevecha Targum, and the Gemara quotes it in the name of Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Ami, that you should finish together with the Tzibor, the Parsha of the week, reading the Psukim two times over and reading Targum once over. The Afilu Ataros V'Divon. Turn the daf, next amud, and even ataros v'divon, that presumably don't have any targum. I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. Shekol ha'mashlim parshiyos v'imetzibor ma'arichin lo yamav u'shnosav. If you do this, so you will have extended days. Rabbi Bibar Abaye Sarva la'ashlamino la'parshiyos v'dekulishos v'mal yomi dekupura. So Rabbi Bibar Abaye crammed. He crammed it all in. On Erev Yom Kippur, at the end of the year, when we finished the Siyum HaTorah, so he wouldn't do Shnai Mikrevecha Targum the year round, but when he got to that day, Erev Yom Kippur, so he would read the entire Torah twice over, and he would read the Targum once. So Tan Lechei Barav Midifte Ksivi Nisim Asnaf Shosechem B'Sisha Lechodesh Ba'erev, to which now the Gemara has a logistic issue. How in the world could you be reading the Sefer Torah all Erev Yom Kippur? We know we have a mitzvah in Erev Yom Kippur. And we know it's based on the following. V'chi b'sisha mesanim v'lo basar mesanim, meaning the Torah describes how we're supposed to fast on the ninth day of Tishrei. Now that, of course, is not correct. We don't fast on the ninth day of Tishrei. We fast on the tenth. Why does the Torah make it sound like we're fasting on the ninth day of Tishrei? Ella, excuse me. Ella l'malach kol ha'ocha v'shoseh. Ba'chi'i ma'alav ha'kasav ki'ilu mesan ha'chi'i v'asiri. If you eat on the ninth day, it is as if you fasted on the ninth and on the tenth day. What's the idea behind eating on the ninth day? What's so important and significant about it? So Rashi, we're all familiar with, Rashi says that the benefit of eating is just simply to prepare yourself for the fast the next day. So since it's a preparation for the fast, so therefore it's considered part of the fast. And the Rush also says this as well, and the Rush quotes Yerushalmi that says this as well. Rabbeinu Yonah offers a different explanation. Rabbeinu Yonah says that really Yom Kippur is a Yom Simcha, right? And that is expressed clearly in the Gemara in Tanis. Right at the end of Tanis says that the two greatest days, the two happiest days of the year are Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Now Tu B'Av, so the Gemara goes over a number of reasons why Tu B'Av is so significant. What's so great about Yom Kippur? So it's pretty self-evident, the Gemara points it out. It's a day of Slicha Mechila. We're forgiven on Yom Kippur. So what better day of the year can there be than a day in that we're forgiven? So really, if it's such a festive day, we should be eating. But the Torah says they have to fast on Yom Kippur. So when are we going to enjoy the Simcha Slicha Mechila? So Rabbeinu Yonah says we're going to enjoy it on the ninth day. So the ninth day is really a Yom which is dedicated to the Simcha of the Slicha Mechila. And that's it. When we express that Simcha through eating. Good. That is Rabbeinu Yonah in terms of why it's so significant to fast on the ninth. Anyway, so it comes out now that it's a logistic issue. You can't catch up on all your Shtayim Mikra Echad Targum on Erev Yom Kippur because you got to be eating on Erev Yom Kippur. They say by Rav Chaim that he would suck on a candy all Erev Yom Kippur, as he felt that the entire day was a mitzvah to eat, as per our Gemara over here. Savra la'akdomenei, so he thought, okay, so what I'll do is, I'll be makdim. In other words, I'll do Mashai Mekar Echa Targum not on the 9th day of Tishrei, I'll do it on the 8th day of Tishrei, I'll do it on the 7th day of Tishrei. Sarasi Mechuva. So Amalei was Sabbatanim Avad Shalei Yaktim Shalei Yacher. So the Gemara says, no, that's also not appropriate. Meaning, Mashai Mekar Echa Targum should be done every week together with the Parsha Shavua. Kedamalu Rav Yeshua Malei Belivnei Ashlim Parsha Secha Im HaTzibur. Finish it together with the Tzibur Shtayim Mekar Echa Targum. Okay, so that's one of the pieces of suggestion that were given by Rav Yishuv ben Levi to his son. Now, before we go on in the Gemara, just a couple of points over here that I'm going to catch up on. Number one, Shtayim Mekar Echa Targum. So you have to go over the Pesukim twice, and you have to go over Targum once. Now, what's Targum? So we know that classically, together with the Torah, there is a translation. There's a running translation. It's called Targum. Targum was authored by Onkelos. Onkelos lived during Beit Sheni. He was a ger. He was a convert. And he wrote the Targum to the Torah. It's an Aramaic translation to the Torah. So Tosfos makes a suggestion. If you look on the bottom of Ches Amud Aleph in Tosfos, so Tosfos makes a suggestion that it doesn't have to be Targum, meaning what's Targum? Targum is just simply translation. So suggest Tosfos that maybe we read the Pesukim twice, and we read a translation. It doesn't have to be Targum. It could be any translation. So this is a suggestion of Tosfos. Tosfos does not like it. Tosfos says, turn the Amud and look at the top of the next Tosfos. Tosfos spills over into the Amud Beis, V'lo Nehira. Sharei HaTargum Mifaresh B'amei She'ein Lomod Min HaIvri. Kedash Kacham B'kama Ruchte De'amar Rav Yosef Ilmali Targumot Ha'ikra Lo Yadana Mai Ka'amar. Targum is more than just a translation, it's an explanation. So Targum goes much deeper than the Torah. In fact, Rav Yosef says there would be certain parts of the Torah we would simply not understand had it not been for Targum. So in other words, Targum, it's not just a translation, and you can't substitute it with another translation, but rather Targum is Targum, meaning you have to read Targum. It's an explanation, it's a perush, it's not just a translation. So Tosfos, therefore, seems to be of the opinion that it has to be specifically Targum. The Gemara says, even a Tars Vedivo. Now, what does that mean, even Tars Vedivo? So Rashi says there's simply no Targum on a Tars Vedivo. Right? Doesn't translate into anything, meaning a Tars Vedivo are names of places. And even that, you have to say over. It seems from Rashi, what does that mean, you have to say it over? Presumably, according to Rashi, means that there's an obligation to say it over a third time. Despite the fact that there's no Targum on it, but still, you need to articulate those words again, even though there's no specific Targum to those words. Okay, that is Rashi's pshat. You see Tosfos. Tosfos says that no. In other words, in the absence of Targum, we're going to have to find another perush. So Tosfos says that there is Targum Yerushalmi on the words of Tars Vedivo, and so you'll look at Targum Yerushalmi, and you read Targum Yerushalmi. So in other words, what the Gemara means is that if there is no Targum, so then you're going to have to seek another perush in order to help you understand those words. Tosfos goes on to the fourth Tosfos on the Amud, third Tosfos on the Amud, talks about exactly when you should be finishing the Parsha at the end of the week. When is the deadline for finishing the Parsha at the end of the week? See Tosfos over there for discussion of that as well. We are back to the Gemara. So, the advice given by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi to his son. And so, one of the advices is the Gemara now is going to go over other pieces of advice that were given to his son. So we are in the Gemara on Ches Amud Beis. It's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues, V'hizaru bivridim ki Rabbi Yehuda. Did not Rabbi Yehuda omer ashishchot es avridin. So another thing to be careful about is cutting the vridim, the arteries in the neck. The mitzvah of shechting is to cut kana v'veshet, the trachea and the esophagus. And by an animal, you have to cut both. By a bird, you have to cut one of the two. The opinion of Rav Yehuda is that when you shecht a bird, you must make sure, even though you only have to cut one of the two simanim, you must make sure to cut the arteries as well. And that is a part of the mitzvah of shechita, according to Rav Yehuda. Do we paskin like him? So Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says, "Hizaru, be careful for the opinion of Rav Yehuda." Sounds like from the Gemara that that's not an absolute psak, but I highly recommend to take the position of Rav Yehuda in order to cut the vridim when you sever either the trachea or the esophagus of the bird. Another thing. Rachman Litzlan, a person gets old. He's a Talmud Chacham. He was a Rebbe. He was involved in Torah. And Rachman Litzlan, he forgot the Torah. Dementia, old age, Alzheimer's, and he doesn't have his Torah with him anymore. Treat him with the same kavod and the same respect as if he knew the Torah. We know that into the Aron was placed both the luchos and the broken luchos as well. The mashal should be obvious, meaning this person who knew Torah but now forgot it due to illness, so he's like shiver luchos, and that was also placed in the Aron, and that was replaced right next to the luchos, so he's zaru, so be careful. More advice given from father to son. This is from Rava to his sons. When you cut meat, don't cut it over your hand. Use a cutting board. Sound advice? Now, one concern is very simple. You may cut your hand. Or you may not cut your hand, but you may just take a little slice of your hand. Blood will go onto the meat. That will be a meal ender. No one's going to be interested in eating after seeing a little bit of your blood fall onto the food. Don't sleep or don't sit on the bed of a non-Jew. Don't walk behind a shul during davening. We're going to explain each one of these in more detail. Below Kriyashma. Now, what exactly does that mean? Don't sleep on the bed of an Aramis. Now, an Aramis is reference to a non-Jew. Now, is this meant to be taken literally? Is this euphemistic? So, the Gemara is going to offer a couple of pshat. Pshat number one is, don't go to bed without saying Kriyashma. Okay. That's number one. Ve'igadami delo tinspa girusa. Another pshat of the Gemara is, do not marry a convert. I know that's a very sensitive topic. It's obviously a very strong statement of the Gemara in terms of not marrying a convert. Look, we know that Boaz married a convert, and not only did Boaz marry a convert, but she becomes the mother of David HaMelech, the matriarch of David HaMelech, the matriarch to Mashiach. So, to say that this is an Isser is obviously wrong. That's totally incorrect. It just, he happens to be that as a philosophical standpoint, as a Hashkafic standpoint, he did not want his son's marrying Giyaris. We know the Gemara elsewhere says, Kasha Gerim Li Yisrael Kisapachas, that Gerim can be difficult, and the whole Parsha of Geris is difficult. And, right, and take a look at Tosis over there on that Gemara. He goes through the various explanations of what exactly that means. We did this Gemara back in Masechta Nida. Anyway, okay, so that was his advice not to marry a Ger. The Amma, the Inka de Amre, Aram is Mamish. Now, a third possible pshat over here is what it means when it says don't sit on the bed of a non-Jew. It means it literally. And the Gemara tells the story, Mishamaisa derav papa derav papa azlagam eram esotzio lo mita. He took out a bed, amra lo, she says, shave. He says, please sit down on the bed, amra lo. Eini yo shave ashitak b'yes amita. I will not sit down until you pick the bed up. Let me see what's underneath the bed. There was a dead baby under the bed. And this, of course, is the precursor to the blood libels. Meaning, what her plan was is that she was going to have him sit down on the bed, accuse him of having killed the baby. Okay. So from here, the Chachamim said, as a blanket rule, do not sit on the bed of an Aramis. And finally, don't walk behind the shul. We spoke about this back on Dav Vav. The Gemara here reviews and gives a couple more details. A person should not walk behind the shul. While the community is davening. And the reason is self-evident. You're walking behind the shul while the community is davening. It seems like you're not interested in davening. And it's a front, it's a direct affront to davening the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rabbi Lo Amar Ela Deleka Pischa Achrina. Now, what if there's another entrance? So it's not so bad. Because then it could be assumed that you're passing by this entrance, but you're going to go in another entrance. So there's no shad. It doesn't look as bad. Now, if there's another shul in the community, That's also fine. Now people are going to see you walk by the shul, and they're going to be down the kav skos. Oh, he must be going to a different minyan. However, and the Gemara points out another proviso, and that is, if he's carrying a load, or if he's running, or if he's wearing tefillin, and if he does any of these things, if he does any of these things, then it's fine. Because, again, it's not a direct affront. If you're carrying a load, people understand. You're passing the shul not because you have anything personal about davening, but right now you're busy. If you are running, so people understand, must be that he has something to run to, something important to run to. If he's wearing tefillin, so people understand, it's not a religious issue. The man's wearing tefillin. Sorry. Tanya Amar, Rabbi Akiva B'Shoshet Varim Ho'av, and here's a Medim. In three ways I like the Medim. Medim, the from Paras to Madai, meaning the twin empire of Persia and Mede, who conquered the world right after the Khorban by Rishon. And we know the main kings of Paras and Madai, Koresh, Daryavesh, Achashverosh, that time period. And in three ways, says Rabbi Akiva, apparently the Mede community continued all the way to the time of Rabbi Akiva. So this is now 400 years later, 450 years later. So first of all, they cut over the table. Like we discussed earlier in the daf, don't cut meat directly over your hand, cut over the table. When they kiss, they would kiss on the back of the hand, and they would not kiss on the front of the hand. Saliva on the front of the hand is disgusting, and so therefore they kissed everybody in the back of the hand. When they would speak privately, they would go out into the field, and they would give eitzah, and they would plan, and they wanted to speak in secrecy, so they would go out to the field. Rashi here quotes the expression that we say to this very day. And Rashi says, Amre inshi asnayim lakoso, the walls have ears. You're going to see that right in Rashi. Amre vada brava maikravi shlach Yaakov ikra lerechalelea asada el tzono. Yaakov did exactly that, conspiring with his wives to leave his father-in-law, Lavan. So what did he do with his wives? He took him out to the field to speak to them out in the field. Tanya Amar Rabbi Gamliel b'shoshes dvarim ho'ohev anisa parsiim. Rabbi Gamliel says, I like the Persians on three things that they do. Snuan ba'achilasan, when they eat, they do eat. They eat privately. They have excellent manners when they eat. Utsnuma be'sakisein, excellent manners in going to the bathroom. Now Rashi points out over here, no. Rashi points out elsewhere, I forget where, that they had, the Persians had a system of bathrooms. It was not as sophisticated as our indoor plumbing, but it was very good, in which the waste was removed from where the person was wasting. When it comes to Tashmash Shemitah, they were also very private. So on these matters, Rabbi Gamliel says they are very private people. Now, and condoned. These acts are condoned. But then the Gemara concludes by giving a grand overview of how they feel about the Persians. Anitzi vesi lemikudashai. Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu, and Tani Rav Yosef el aprasim hamukdashim umuzumanim legehenim. The pasuk in Yeshayahu is a reference to the Persians who are mukdash. Mukdash does not here mean holy. Mukdash simply means set aside, like the Kadesh in the Torah. That's a zona. She sets herself aside. So here the Persians are mukdashim umuzumanim legehenim. They have Gehenna to look forward to, and although the Gemara just praised three of their actions, but in general, the Gemara, obviously, Rav Yosef has a tremendous amount of contempt for the Persian people. Okay, we'll stop over here. This is the end of Daf Ches.